Welcome to The Firm, episode 19. Oh, we're starting out early today, aren't we? Another early one for us. This is quickly becoming a fucking morning show.
It's like a breakfast show.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many people are actually having breakfast when they're hearing about Guild Ball. But yeah, welcome. We're kicking off strong, because a lot of new shit in the ladies and gentlemen. Anvil and Pledge, Alex.
Yeah.
Right, before we get into the changing, right, what did you think about Anvil and Pledge before?
Honestly, I thought Anvil was unkillable. I thought he was an unkillable, great setup machine. Main purpose for any game that I ever intended to use him in. Where we picked up the blacksmiths, didn't we, to sort of practice them into each other because of our campaign of hashtag fuck the smiths.
hashtag ban blacksmith.
Yeah, a few people have been mentioning that about how we've been saying that, and I think it is important to highlight the fact that I don't think that the blacksmiths are completely busted. I think that it's just a case of I still need to answer the question they pose. Because I think they have such a different question to what any other team asks. Like, killy teams, you try, like, heal up and try and outscore them. That's what I do. Football teams, I try and kill the ball and outscore them when I can. And maybe try and get a cheeky takeout to try and push myself above them in the ping pong. And scrum teams, try and reposition, not to get pinned down and reposition when I need to. But the blacksmiths, they seem to just ask this whole question of their own, I think. This high armor, like masters having this high armor to the point of, is it worth going after them? And then the answer to that question being hunt apprentices. And then you've either got to A, play someone who's going to feed you apprentices, and then B, pin them down before their things like their momentous sevens catch up with you.
I personally
can't answer that question yet, because it's something that you can only get better at by playing into more and more and more blacksmiths. It's where my sort of games, I'm sort of learning more about how to get out of kill teams whenever I play into a Vet Rage Union game, whenever I play into either Butchers. You know, so like there's different matchups there that are giving me the same benefit when I come out of it. Whereas to learn how to answer the blacksmith's question, you have to just play more blacksmiths.
Do you think the navigators do better against the blacksmith?
No, I think they're hurt more than anyone else by armor. Because rerolls are great and all, but if you've got a low amount of attack, and then so it's like the rerolls are good, but attack of 4 means yes, you can roll up to 8 dice, but you're still only getting a maximum of four results. And if Anvil's taking 3 of them away, you can have all the rerolls in the world, but one dice is one dice. One maximum net hit.
I think it cuts into the core of what I have with. I've said this before so many times, that I think a lot of people get into this. When you play a team that does well against a team, you go, oh, here's how you solve the problem. Ooh.
Yeah.
And I never just go, like, I've said it before, I think my core team, the Hunters, do well against the Blacksmith, because they can lower defence, lower movement, keep, you know, choose the nature of the engagement. And the fun of it, but I don't just go, the Hunters, my team do well, so I don't know what you're all complaining about.
Yeah, because it's how you said before, when you see let's take New Sledge, for example, when you see 4-1 with 13 boxes, you've said before that what you see is 3-0, because you see him snared and J-Car going in.
Yeah.
13 boxes, 3-0. No, J-Car will do that for fun.
Yeah. In a perfect world, J-Car would go in on Pledge. I've basically got a prayer the counter-attack doesn't get purchased, effectively. But if Pledge is just going naked, he should only have 5 attack. He probably won't make the double push. All good, I can do my damage. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, J-Car gets perfectly average roll. I can get maybe 8. Let's push it. Let's just say I get a couple of good results. 10 damage. 4 momentum for the whole stick. Great. 4 influence. 10 damage per, you know, great on a lot of models. If it's at the end of the turn, I can start again with JKR, potentially get, you know, my damage as well. The core problem is that not every team has a JKR model, not every team has snared, not every team has great ranged character plays that do damage and add conditions, and they potentially get momentum fall back. Okay, I never just go, the Hunters do well. I go, right, who struggles into these guys? Who are gonna have, I, I'm I'm a big fan of, you know, guild identity and matchup, but I also have to be aware that, like, if you're just a guy who plays just Brewers, I know for a fact it's hard to get going against this guy. Because the thing that, and I'll say this again, the thing that makes this guy good isn't an issue of rules or play style or the individual skill of the player. The thing that makes them good is written into the mathematics of their rule. Armour. Free armour is unambiguously good. Bigger. I've got no choice. If I don't hit Anvil with Bigger, I don't do anything this turn. Fuck it. Go again. You don't just get pushed out anyway. Bigger's got a point of armour. Double push on 4 hit. You don't get it. Yay. Okay, I can continue. I've survived the initial thing. I can actually keep attacking. I roll 5 attack or whatever. Bigger, 6 attack, I think. No, 5 attack. 5 attack on 4 hit. I think he knocks down on 3. If he just raw attack, Bigger can never knock down.
Yeah.
He can't get flawed. He can't actually start doing the work that Bigger does. But okay, even then, I charge in, right? I go, oh, fuck it. You know, I need the knockdown. I really need this knockdown. I'm going to charge in. Fuck it. I get the knockdown. Yay, 4 hit. I get 7 hits, right?
Mm.
Oh no, 6 hits, 3 of them come off armor. Oh, thank God, I've got my knockdown now. Woo! It's like, I've just lost a wrap, yeah. Which is where the Brewers would have even done their work anyway. Armor takes a lot of stuff off a lot of guilds. And if you're playing like the Fisherman, or even a lot of guilds, on the playbook end, generally tend to get what they want early on. For the Navigator, the Hunter's a good example of guys who are kind of reliant on a bit of setup, and then they try and push to the end of their playbook. They don't do terribly at the beginning, but if I just rely on raw tackle the Hunter, I'm never going to out damage the Blacksmith. They don't do the same thing. They don't go, oh well, my armor's going to slow them down and I'll settle for really mediocre results. They actually get pretty good shit early on, and then they get spectacular shit at the end of their playbook. And the whole thing of like going, I hate that element of, you know, oh well, you know what, if you're this kind of team, just merely push them around or knock them down or whatever. Let's just say knockdown was the answer for some reason. You're going, I never care. I've said it to you before, going, oh well, if they had an early knockdown. Like, I remember when I played the Butcher against you, and I went, I wish their knockdown were a bit earlier so that they could actually, you know, attack and do their Butcher shit. And when I view the knockdown as giving up the damage for just to buy the freedom to attack, I'm not saying it should be on one or whatever, but like, if you go, oh well, push them around a bit, great, I'm already giving up damage to push them when I already desperately need damage on free armor. If you get a spike in dice, fuck me, do you need it? Like, you need every little thing you get against them. Yeah. It's so fucking doable to go 5 tack, 2 missing, fuck nothing, or 1 miss, I get a point of damage. If it's on anvil, I don't get anything. Then sledge, yeah, 4-2. I roll 6 tack, oh shit, 2 hits, or yeah, 4 hits, 2 armor, 2 hits. Likely non-momentum 2, or if you look it, a momentum 2.
You've said before that it's strong armor just takes the slider of taking you from average results and just slides it down to like dick results on every single roll.
Yeah, but like if you've got like
it's a bad luck increaser.
Yeah, if you've got an ebb style figure who can go bang armor getting. But even then, minus 1 armor, good. Mm. But for a lot of these apprentices, I said, when I played against you, I was going like, what am I going to do? Just throw my apprentice out here, yeah. Like, I'm sitting here on 4-2. You come to me, I'll do my damage later. I've got all the time in the world to sit here. And what I'm going to do, I might give my ball to Anvil, have him sit in cover.
Yeah.
You know, free armor with cover. Angel walks up, can't even attack him.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if I go, oh, fuck all, I've lost the cover, bonus time, maybe a hit, what are you getting? If you're lucky, one miss, I win.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to, I'll have this bitch later on, but my main thing is, yeah, in a lot of teams, everyone has a lot of their own unique and individual rules, but at the end of the day, for a lot of guilds, you can always, your last line of defense is always the bad luck and good luck of the situation.
Yeah,
you can always go, you know what, maybe you'll just fucking biff it, or maybe I'll just spike it, fuck yeah. And shit like armor, which is just guaranteed, there's no outside of character play or anatomical or like basically a unique ability, there is no way to negate that per the rules. I can't outthink my way out of free armor other than going, okay, anatomical, let's just say for some reason I've got a special character play that reduces armor, bang, okay, maybe minus 2 at best. And like, yeah, I'm already giving up damage potential. I'm already giving up what I need to just even keep up with them. Oh, Ironwalk in. He's already a great striker, but hey, fuck it. He gets the dice spike, 5 momentum. It's like, that's the thing. They can take advantage of their good luck. My good luck can only push me so far. It's just a matter of mathematics.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I really like Anvil and Sledge, even if they came in the box. Right?
Yeah. I wasn't surprised when I saw that they were getting a bit of love, but again, it's like you said, I think you said it perfectly this morning when you said yet again that a squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know. It is hard, and I understand that Amberlynn and Sledge are getting picked less than other players perhaps, but then like if you look at their cards in a vacuum, like if you take the colour of the guild off them, like if you just showed someone that playbook, that stat line and those plays, you didn't show them what guild they were on, I think people would say that is an incredible playbook. They're like,
yeah.
I'm not sure, you know. Everything so far we've seen for season four, everything I've said, I think this is a great play. This is a great adjustment. It looks going to be really good for the guild. I think this one's been, I hate to say it, but I think this one's been overdone, you know.
Well, yeah, we've looked at the other characters. We've looked at Granite, Shalva, you know, Snakeskin. I generally really like the change on the cards. I think it makes them more them. It doesn't fundamentally affect, you know, what they do. I don't want this episode to be overly negative, but
yeah.
It's gonna be. Gory, ladies and gentlemen, this is gonna be a bitchy one. But I hope rightfully so. The thing I have with Anvil and Sledge, right? Let's say you're making up a Black Shield team and you go, okay, I'm looking at all the cards. Why do I bring Anvil and Sledge when I've got people like Cast who can get momentum free on two hits if you're burning? And if you've got Furnace and Burnish running around the field, people are going to be burning.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's another thing of, yeah, the way the Blacksmith seems to work for me is they've got that set up payoff, that breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Master sets you up, Apprentice takes advantage. You know, that's one of their keys. I've always thought that's like one of the key personalities to the guild.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like you set them burning, you know, that gives them sort of the time is now going that you, if you don't deal with that, Caster's going to punish you for it, you know.
Yeah.
But then it feels like the last few Blacksmith releases are kind of just going, well, what if they got all their good shit without having to do the setup?
Well, that's the thing. People are already talking about what Sledge can do without even any setup, and now with the setup, which should be doable. I've already kind of thought, if you were within inch of Anvil to take advantage of the free character play, you already should have had someone either knocked down or singled out, preferably both for Mena. Anvil's not going to get fucking killed, he's barely going to get budged. If someone's attacking Anvil, it's like Angel on Sixth Defense or Vlush on Sixth Defense. The other guy turns around and goes, ha, you idiot, Anvil's out there on his own, I'm merely going to take advantage of this now, aha. I'm going, yeah, I go, oh no, you got me. What am I going to do with a 2-3 model with tough hide? Oh, I can't believe he survived that activation. If someone came in with Ox and went, all right, time now, fucking legendary walking, I'd still go like, oh no, Ox is going to run a train on. You know what, I'm not even going to bother counter-attacking. You've got him now. Oh, you only did about 10 damage. Oh, I think it's a shame, innit? Anyway, activate, heal, knock down, singled out. I'll just sit there. Good fucking luck, budgie mate. You know what? Fuck it. Legendary. Everyone can have tough hiding. You can't even push anyone now or fucking kill them. Rest of the team negating your legendary. Here comes Sledge. Boom. Fucking, I've got tough hide. Shit, well, oh no, you got me now. That's merely a momentum take down to 7. Eat a dick.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, if you look at the whole Blacksmith team, you can easily get setups for, if you bring the right teams, like I've gone up against Bolt setups, where they go +2 move, ferrite legendary, Bolt's got 16 inch worth of jog before he even starts. Oh fuck it, I might just sprint and charge and get another 3 extra into movement, bang, I've gone from Mike. If I get past the ball, like on a 20 inch range, I'm starting at kickoff line to just, I jog into your goal, kick.
Yeah.
Like, you played against my team, my hunter, you know how much I have to bleed and set up a kick, and it's not even that hard to fuck around with the setup.
Yeah.
And another thing I've said before, the ability to alter your movement in radical ways. Like if I do the Hearn teleport setup, I've got Hearn sprint, which is 6 inch at best,
yeah,
to get to where I need to be, and it's not that. And you know what I'm doing. I kick the ball to Hearn. A forest has already gone down. You know, you've got time. And if the way I do it, I usually like to end it later instead of giving you a bunch of free turns just to beat up Hearn, who's, you know, it's a fucking bit of a victim on, you know, the health department. But that's, you know, it's hard to bleed for that show. And it's not that thing where I can keep taking advantage of it over and over again. Usually that Hearn goal, I blow my wad goal scoring wise. If I miss it, it's not like I go, Hearn does it again. I can't leave him there.
Yeah.
It's like, if I get it, great. If I don't, that's just done. I've got a reevaluate what I'm going to do. I think instead of turning around and going, okay, when people formulate in Blacksmith team, they're passing Anvil and Sledge, and 9 times out of 10 is to go for their really fucking amazing goal striking model. And you know what I'm trying to do? Their strikers are no fucking slouch in the murdering department. Like, Aloy, great murderer, can just fucking rack up damage. Maybe non-momentum for sometimes, but he can fucking put it out there. Dirty knives, the full fucking stick of butter. It, a push, why would I bring just a pure killer who, a pure killer, like, Sledge, not a terrible model, but even then he's got a shit like Long Bomb. It's like, yeah, Iron Goshen, even if, right, I just don't factor in anything, just 2 hits, 2 momentum damage, 8 damage guaranteed, not fucking bad for a striker, and momentously too, if I get a dice spike, boom, 4 damage.
Set it up properly, he's got the momentum 7 at the top.
Yeah, that's the thing though, if you can take advantage of your good luck.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing against Blacksmith, in that case, you're fucked. But it's not. Instead of looking at the rest of the team and going, all right, why are people only bringing Ferrite? Why are people only bringing... And again, it's a case of everyone... I've said it before. People look at the way people are saying it and go... People aren't going... No, people are going to come up and go, the rest of my team just OP. It's just these two models are fine. It's the rest of OP. They're going to go, these two are shit. Yeah. And I feel like this is the perfect case of it. Instead of going, maybe we should just tone down how good their goal striking ability, and just bring them in line with these two great models. Because, like, again, a lot of people don't just go Anvil and Sledge in a vacuum. They go, they've got to eat up 2 Master and Apprentice spaces. Where Aloy's so good of a model, even if I don't have Hearth, I'll bring him on his own.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, whatever. Like, why give up 2 slots when you could even have 2 Master and Apprentices that are so good, they don't even have to really match up. People are willing to just throw character traits with other models out of the window for their just raw potential.
Yeah.
Instead of going, and I've said it before, guys, like, when it comes to models who get good shit, you've got to be willing to pay a price. And I understand, like, for me, if I bring Brewers, the price I pay is shit movement, not be able to do... It doesn't... Like, say, when I play against your Fishermen, I go, I know the Fishermen get great movement, but that's what they get. When I'm playing against your Shark team and going, this guy isn't even going to try and kill me, that is the price you pay.
Yeah.
And for the most part, you're willing to pay it. And same for Brewers, I'm willing to pay not having dodging from playbook. I'm willing to give that up. The thing of, again, I know the Blacksmiths don't dodge, but they don't dodge where it doesn't count. And the guys who actually do all the ghost drivers, they get dodging for fucking days. And they get great, great shit. And this whole thing of, well, if you separate the Masters and Apprentices by using up damage potential to push them, or using up, you know, other shit that's good, or going, better yet going, if you just rely on the opponent playing shit, well, yeah. Like, thanks for that, yeah. If they just throw their Apprentices out there and not have them protected by their great Masters, it's like going, well, yeah, I'm not, if I'm playing back, I'm not just going to give you them.
Yeah.
And if you're a halfway decent player, you'll do the same. Like, yeah, just go off. Oh, no, captains, you're going to walk around. I've said it before. I've done it on my Blacksmith game. Furnace walks out. Oh, no, you don't get Furnace. All right, get Furnace. All right, cast comes in now.
Yeah.
Melee range with Furnace. Getting all the benefits. You're already fucking burning. Bang, 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 bang. Damage for days. Momentum 12. No problem. And if I get a dice spike, occasional momentum 6. You know what I mean? Like... I don't want it to be overly bitchy, because I do like the chat.
he says, finally taking breath.
It's a net buff, but a buff I didn't even feel was that needed.
Yeah. It is such a hard one, because this is the first time I've seen an updated card and I've gone, I'm not sure it was needed, you know? I'm sure there's some Blacksmith players screaming at their phones right now, screaming at their headphones, but I think it might be an issue that is seen on the mid tables where I am. Like, I understand that maybe at the top tables, like, hyper competitive play, that maybe the Blacksmiths aren't running Riot, but it feels like whenever I see Blacksmiths played at the level around where I am, they get their good shit so reliable. They get good shit on average, and they get great shit when they get good luck.
Yeah.
And they get fine when they get bad luck. Whereas when you play into them, your great stuff is taken off the table. That's gone. You're not getting your great stuff. Your average stuff, that's been pushed down to your good dice rolls. And your bad stuff, well, that's now average. And not getting anything is on the table.
Yeah, it'll go, oh no, I'm Sledge, I only got 1 hit. Momentum's not down. I and Pledge going, I only get, somehow I only get one hit with Pledge. And Pledge going, oh, momentum one. Oh, fuck it, I can name plenty of cards off the top, even on my own team, who would fucking kill for momentum one. And I'm not, when it comes to the top table, and you know, the absolute best of the best, I'm not being funny around. But there is a random element of tears in no one bringing Ash team. The Karinkan went, Alchemist got nerfed, their representation went through the fucking floor. When you know, Union have always been good, Fishermen, they've had their ups and downs, but they've remained relatively consistent. And yeah, you fucking, when the Farmers had a great Fresher, very, very well represented, Fresher gets nerfed, oops, not many Farmers players in top 8, I've noticed these days. I'm not being funny about it, guys, but again, if you're the Fisherman, armor isn't as important because you're getting what you want, usually on a hit. Like, going, I just need one hit, dodge. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not, you're not desperately. But for teams who are super reliant on getting to the middle of their playbook to just begin their, you know, what they're good at. And like, yeah, for a lot of them other teams, they are sacrificing something. If you're the Butcher, you're sacrificing your potentially good goal scoring ability for great damage and bleed. And even, in some cases, you're sacrificing damage just for the right to continue your turn.
Mm.
And then, yeah, Bruins came again. I'm sacrificing dodging and the ability to get great goals and even defense for a good bit just to even get moving. And yeah, you can, okay, forget Alchemist, terrible player, but great character player. But yeah, the engineer, tie him up in melee. The strategy of like going, oh, they're so good at goal scoring, it was better to buff their damage potential than nerf their goal scoring a bit. Or maybe, yeah, slightly re-examine why people are just going, goal scoring's so good. I can do that and do two takeouts easily. And when you look at the Blacksmith playbook, generally, some of their best goal strikers, Alloy, Iron, Ferrite, are not fucking bad. And Ferrite can do serious damage. Not even non-damage, I mean just her walking in and going, weak point, disarm, ruining the damage potential of your team. If you get disarmed and you've got to hit someone with even an armor, you're in really fucking bad shape, just on the roll. And that's the kind of thing she can do, even when she's not getting goals, which she probably fucking should be. And it's like, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. I really want to come away from this one a bit more positive. And in terms of the cards, I do like Anvil and Fledge. I like they'll be getting brought more, but I hate they'll be getting brought more because now they've been pushed into a territory that makes them just fucking great. Even if Fledge biffs every fucking roll on his dice, if he's setting up a pile driver, momentum 4 for free.
Well, that's one thing that someone said. The first thing someone said when they came out is when we were talking to them, was he goes, right, okay, say it's the bottom of a turn, right? Blacksmith's player's got a barrel of momentum, okay? Sledge is next to Anvil, because obviously he is, yeah, right? And we'll say that's the only setup there is. We'll say that a model isn't knocked down, isn't singled out, isn't crowded out, right? Sledge takes pile driver for free, yeah? Plus 3 net hits. He wanders up and takes a swing at someone, yeah?
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to roll any dice to be guaranteed 4 momentous damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pile drivers again, attacks again, another 4 momentous damage. So he's done 8 momentous damage, and that's just on literally not getting a single dice. Oh, yeah.
If he go from that free influence and he's near Fledge, he has a minimum of 8 momentous damage, 6 with tough hide.
Yep.
And no dice, no nothing, that's just you get that.
So if you do that at the bottom of a turn and then roll around to the top of the next turn, you could be doing 16 damage.
Yeah.
You're doing 16 damage, and that's not accounting for the fact that you only need a couple of dice to push one of them 4s into a 6.
Yeah. Like, okay, for the sake of argument, Velocity is getting on the pitch. She's nimbled at the end of the turn. Fledge goes last. Anvil, you know, he just got the free character play from Anvil. Like, okay, you mispositioned. You know, Velocity got away. Anvil ain't even near Velocity. Mm. Not even, no crowd out, no nothing. Fledge walks up. He's got a 2-inch melee, so she won't even get the potential counter attack. And if you go base to base, the maximum most people can do is double dodge or double push, which in that case, Fledge is staying in melee range. Yeah, I roll against it. I roll my 5 attack. I get nothing. No hits on the defense model. Okay, pile driver. Because pile driver always comes after armor. So armor does not affect your pile driver hit, which I think is weird. I always seem to, it just, you add it to your hit.
What is it? It said plus 3 hits, but it says plus 3 net hits, so yeah, it's after armor.
Yeah,
I mean, like, it says plus well, 3
net. I assumed net hit was to stop people from going, okay, I roll 5 tack, I miss 2, so I use my power driver to turn the 2 into hit. You go, no, net hit mean I'm adding hits on top of what I've already got.
Yeah,
but I just thought you'd make a dice pull of all your hits and then add, you know, take away armor or whatever. But it's already been ruled on anyway. It's net hit gets around armor, yeah. I biff every roll. roll on a quick defense model like Velocity. Bang. All right, fine. 4 damage. Pile driver. Do it again. Okay, I biff every die. 4 damage again. Turn. Begin next, right? Velocity on 4 health now. I'm near angle. Do it again. Pile driver 4. Oh, fuck. I've got reanimate. Thanks for that. Boom. Pile driver. Velocity dead. 5 quick defense model. Garrett, and again, it's not. If I'm that Velocity player, what do I do?
Yeah,
how do
I? You can't outthink it.
Yeah, go. Oh, I've got a secret character player, or legendary, or some douchey maneuver. It's like, yeah, just you get it.
Yeah.
You get it, and you get it for you know, you're fair. And,
yeah, let's you know. let's actually have a look at the differences then. So Anvil, he's gone from 4-6 move to 5-7. Everything else is the same. Yeah, 3-6 kick.
Yeah.
2-3, 3-3.
Yeah, 3-6 kick, not bad.
Yeah, not awful.
Well, give something up.
Yeah.
Hearn's 4-6 move on fucking, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's one of my, arguably one of my better kickers.
He's got your teleport jank though.
Yeah, great fucking maneuverability. I'm not arguing about that. But at least I'm giving some up. He's not a fucking model like this.
Mm. Yeah, singled out's come one down. So he's got knockdown, momentous knockdown on 1, momentous singled out on 2. That 3's come down, non-momentous 3 at the top of his book's come down 1. So he's now got a Brewer's playbook, 5 long with 6 tack. But I mean, you're only going to be hitting for the knockdown and singled out, aren't you?
Yeah. And he gained an additional 3 hit points.
Still kept the tough hide.
Which, yeah, for me, you kind of a moot fucking point.
Because he's still got singled out and Wally Eye in his heart. And then...
Yeah, if you're desperate for Wally Eye in his heart, if you put free influence on this guy, you're always going to get it back.
Yeah.
Knocked down on 1, you're likely going to get it every single time. Singled out on 2, after you've already knocked them down, you've already got a rogue playbook, you know. And if you want Wally Eye in his heart, it's just a question of, boom, I get it momentously now. There's almost no reason to pay for it out of your own playbook. Mm. Yeah.
And then back of the books, largely untouched. Sentinel, still got that to give the apprentices +1 armour, because obviously kept tough hide, gained 3 health though. He's gone from 19 to 22 yeah. with tough hide, 2s and 3. He's just, I think you've gone, he's gone from like, he's unambiguously not worth killing now.
Yeah.
You just,
you already didn't want to kill him before. Now you just don't want to kill him +3 points.
Yeah. Well, +6.
Yeah, effectively.
Legendary has changed. I think the legendary is a good change, in all honesty. Going from he gains +1 tack, or if he's the captain, he gains +1, and everything in 6 inches gains tough hide.
Yeah.
Has gone from on his legendary, he gains stoic, and if he's captain, everyone in 6 inches gains tough hide and stoic. So I quite like that. If it wasn't for all the other changes to these two models, I think that's great, because I think that's given him that legendary sort of makes sense with Anvil.
Oh, yeah.
You look at him, and like, so you never really needed the +1 tack anyway, and giving out tough hide, like, yeah, it's nice, but it wasn't worth what you'd lose by not having someone else be the master.
Let's be real here. If we even went off the naked legendary, like, can you make Anvil captain for some reason, everyone getting tough hide is amazing. It's fucking spectacular.
Mm.
Like, yeah, he turned himself from just being unkillable to, if you're setting up your apprentice right and your master's right, the whole team effectively being unkillable. And then, yeah, on top of that, now you've got stoic. The only reason people don't bring Anvil before is because you've got the likes of Ferrite, who get a +2/+2 move and guarantee you, like, all but guarantee you a goal turn 1. Like, it used to be, like, the whole setup of the blacksmith at the minute, if A, really goal heavy, and B, if you don't get a goal turn 1 activation, usually something's gone horribly wrong, or you've had a terrible kick. You know, you've had to kick to them and it's just not gone your way, they've just got the ball to run off of it. The turn 1 goal is kind of expected with the blacksmith. I like the changing. I think it's just overboard. Really overboard.
Yeah. Sledge, stat line hasn't changed. 5-7 move, 5 tack, 3-6 kick, 4s and 1 defense armor with a 1-3 influence. Then his playbook, largely unchanged in as much as the design of it is the same.
Yeah.
It's just the damage has gone from 1-on-1 is now 2-on-1. The 2-on-3 is now 4-on-3. The 4-on-5 is now 6-on-5. And that momentous 7 at the top is now a momentous 8.
Yeah.
And the 2, 4, and 6 are momentous as well.
Yeah. And non-momentous pushing have been pushed down a bit. Like, you were even going to take them anyway. Why even bother? For me, you get to tackle on 1 as well, still, you know, guaranteed. In an emergency situation, Pledge charging in, tackle, knockdown, easy. Free influence, I'll charge in, guaranteed knockdown, tackle, boom, long bomb, poof, off you fucking go. On a 4-10 kick on that. And you know me, I've used long bomb before to get a fucking clutch goal. Long bomb's a fucking amazing character play. And on models like that, where you're going, fucking, when they've already got pretty solid kick. Free kick, not bad.
Yeah.
Boom, free 10 pack. Can't be intercepted, more importantly. That's the long bomb qualifier. Because you're kicking over a team and going, all right, snapshot, boom, fucking have it. Yeah. Eesh.
And then on the back, still got tutelage Anvil for the free character play if he's in 6 inches of him, of Anvil. He's lost knockback, which is the one where if you get that successful attack, they take a 1 inch push away, directly away, and then you get a 1 inch dodge directly towards that for powerful charge. So on a charge, in addition to one or more playbook damage results, the targeted enemy model suffers the knockdown condition.
Yeah, I want to usually impress by knockback, because in nine times out of ten, if you are using Anvil at a pledge, you have to bring Anvil. And in any situation, Anvil should already be melee range. There's no reason to try and push a model around. Unless you're somehow trying to push them back into Anvil.
Which you probably aren't doing with knockback, as it's directly away.
Yeah, it's a hard one to get up, you know.
I'm kind of sorry that this one's this sort of, looking at these cards, sort of started on a bit of a sour note, but he also got an extra point of health, so he's gone from 12 to 13 health sledge. But I don't know how much of it is our personal issue of not having an answer to the blacksmith's question yet, which we're still working on. We're going to be working more on season 4. That's one goal I have for season 4 is to this and blacksmiths and alchemists are my like boogeyman. They're the ones that when I see that logo next to my opponent's name on Longshanks when a round is drawn, that will tilt me before I sit down at the table. And I want to take that advantage off my opponent, so I want to learn how to play into blacksmiths and alchemists this season. That's going to be one of my goals. But
You got to embrace the bitchiness, I think. But the one thing I've got to come in with is I'm not gonna. Kind of, it's not particularly fun to listen to the two dudes whine. But I can't come in on this and go, I don't want the episode to be overly whiny. So I'm just gonna kind of go, oh yeah, they got both. It's all right, whatever. It's like, I think the situation where the rest of the blacksmith should have been looked at and gone, wait a minute, why is the goal striking team just running riot in the blacksmith build at the minute? And going, is the problem, do Anvil and Fletch D bring it up, or is the rest of his team bringing down a bit just to make them more reasonable? And ladies and gentlemen, I can only leave that up to you. Feel free to email or tweet and going, fucking hell, shut up about the blacksmith already, you fucking moron. Feel free to share that. It takes a lot to hurt our feelings here at the firm. I think we've kind of earned it a bit. On the other, if we bitched at every single change, I go, you know what, maybe we are just whining for the sake of whining. But all the other changes have gone, overall, all the changes that have happened to the card have been in the buff territory. Calvo got a buff. Granite got a buff. Ish. And yeah, thinking I'd call that a buff. But we were fine with them cards. At no point did we go, oh, well, I guess they needed it, but oh, granted, you know, it's gone a bit too far now. In fact, that tends to be the rule in all the models who've got a buff so far. Like, Snakeskin, Salvo, and Granite are underused models on teams that have spectacular models. Same with the Blacksmith. A lot of their combinations are really fucking great. And like, okay, when I'm bringing Alloy, when I'm not even bringing the Master, just to have him on his own, maybe you should go, all right, maybe we need to make Alloy a bit more attached to half to make that worth it. Or maybe, like, again, it's not even like half bad. Not down on one. Can get a 3-inch melee gun. You know, it's not terrible.
Right, we're done talking about Plowman. Done.
I've had my fun. This will leave some editing. Alex, like...
What winds me up is because every time we're sitting with these cards in front of us, and it's like we're talking about these, and like as we're talking, I'm just staring at these cards, and I just keep looking at
them. In red.
And it's just like, I wish I had an answer to that problem. I just don't.
I thought exactly what I mean, though, don't you? When you're just looking and you're going, no.
I feel like if for some unbeknownst reason, like top tier players listen to this, I feel like they're going, well, you fucking idiots then? If you can't play into blacksmiths, you fucking idiots. And I'm just going, I know it's my problem. I know it's my problem that I need to solve, but it's...
Well, Alec, in that top of the turn, 8 guaranteed damage setup, what level of thinking getting me out of that, other than a character that had like fucking double push double dodge on a couple of hits? Like even that situation, like Velocity, yeah, double push double dodge at the end of the playbook, she counter attack, get every hit, one armor, don't get it, you're getting hurt like that. And again, that pile driver shit, if it comes after armor, you can't even go, well, at least the blacksmith can fuck up their own shit. You get the 4 damage, there's no negotiation,
yeah.
There's no secret tech, there's no clever thinking, he gets the 8 damage guaranteed. Assuming you don't even just try and swing every time, just try your luck on 3 fucking hits. Like, I think the pile driver is just for when you absolutely need it. On a six defense models going, fuck it, I'm not shaking my chance for that. Boom, 4 damage, mm-hmm. boom, 4 damage. Get a dice spike, well, shit, shit.
But, not even that much for spike. You need 2 successes to add 2 pile driver to make it a momentum 6.
Well, I'm not saying that, you know. But yeah, at this point, it's not a question of clever thinking or rule. It's a question of mathematics.
It's 16 damage without having to roll dice, but you're adding to it by rolling the dice.
Yeah. On lighter news.
Something to think about. Yeah. But your boy Plowman.
Plowman, I love this fucking model. And now that we've gone over that, this is going to be a quick one because I fucking love these changes. Plowman, fucking, I thought it was great before.
So when I first picked up the farmers, like when I first stepped away from the fish, stopped playing farmers because I won the box at a tournament, I won the Grange box at a tournament. We tried, didn't we? We tried so hard to make Plowman work, but then so we tried all kinds of lists with with proxy in the second box as well as until I bought the second box. And stuff, and then we were just like, and then we took him out, and then I started running Milfstone, and we had that thing where we just looked at each other, and we were just going, "This is just better, isn't it?"
Yeah.
This is just, we were just like, "This is like objectively better."
Yeah. Plowman, like again, I think it's a bit of a theme of all the season 4 changing. Plowman is a middle tier model amongst top tier team. I'm not saying the farmer car top tier team, but I mean, yeah, he's below average on the above average stat line of the rest of the crew. And I think I quite like him. He's got a lot of quality in his original card that I really love. 2-inch melee, he can get shit down, you know.
So the sort of idea of Plowman, the soul of him, was the idea that he gave you fruit, he gave you an extra harvest marker, you know.
Yeah.
He gave you extra stuff, and at the same time, he was there to bully people back into Granger's sort of prison, into that honest labour bubble, into that sort of hellscape for Fallow or Tater to run riot.
Yeah.
But in actual play, he didn't really seem to do it as often. But now, looking at his new book, I think he's going to. So like he's gone, you know, movement, attack and kit have stayed the same, 4, 7, 5, 2, 6. Defence and armour, he's still 3 defence, but he's gained that point of armour.
Yeah.
You know, he had it before with mud concealer. Like when he was in rough ground, he got that point of armour, but he's just got that naturally now.
One of the changing cards I don't agree with this new card is taking mud concealer off him to give him the point of armour. I like he got the point of armour, but I felt like he should have had that anyway to justify his kind of with a new playbook, he's not a spectacular killer. And more importantly, the thing I like about Plowman's new playbook is that if you, like, you go in with Grange, right, and you go, Plowman's gonna do some damage, 1, 2, 3 hit, I'm not even gonna do it. Non-momentum 2 up to 3 on 1 hit, you do 9 damage, great, but it's still non-momentum, you're giving up something to take the damage. I view that as a fair enough trade off. The thing I would have liked about keeping Mud Concealer is that it would have made people more tempted to put out Broken Earth more often. In a kind of situation where I'm actually trying to swing or pay for Broken Earth, it's a very specific kind of, but I'm going for that.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have got that because it's enemy models treat the Sora as rough ground.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have treated it as rough ground, so he wouldn't have got his mud concealer off.
I kind of wish he had it. Yeah, even generally if he'd locked it. Mud concealer is one thing, but it's super specific, and it would have also, I think, maybe having that where Broken Earth, maybe it could have had a just be rough ground, maybe, because he already gets gliding. 4-inch or within 6-inch, you glide. So that, for me, that's almost a moot point. And then yeah, I think on top of that, the ability to like go, it would have made you more tempted to take Broken Earth. The setup for taking Broken Earth now seems super specific. Instead of going, wow, I do it momentumly, I get all these benefits back. But I do generally really fucking love the changing to him. Great, his playbook's a lot better now. He can put out damage potential, he can knock down momentumly, he can push people around momentumly.
I'm not sure I agree with you there, because I think the way you're saying that you had to pay for it, like you got it momentously before. The thing is, he was still having to pay to do his like shtick, his thing of giving you the free harvest markers. He was still paying for it when that was like the point of the model. He was gonna never achieve anything else. Now he's giving you that free harvest marker. Well, more importantly, he brings one himself now, and he gives you the extra one. But on top of that, he's now actually gets to use his playbook.
Yeah.
Whereas before, he only ever used it to momentum. basically trigger off stuff that... So it's almost like they've given you a sixth player back when you have him on the pitch.
Yeah, that's the thing. Compared to an old playbook where you need to put foot alcohol down to even begin, you know, just to begin what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now he gets, you know, foot alcohol character trait, which is great. I love that change. Like, it's only one per turn, so you can't overly abuse it. Although, it does slightly take away from the identity of Plowman. I quite liked the abusability of foot alcohol. But I don't mind the, you know, the switch. It's a lot more reliable, it's a lot more doable now. The, but like, yeah, because he doesn't have mud concealer, and, you know, there's almost no reason to put out Broken Earth now if I have the choice. If I'm doing playbook, I may as well take the momentum knockdown if I get the two hits. And a lot of teams who, in a 4-inch aura, a lot of teams who want to be in on Plowman, 4-inch won't make a much of a difference. Unless you're that full of extent of you, you know, a Brewer coming into you, and you push them to the very extent where they're just about to run in. Broken Earth, okay, I've shaved 2-inch off you. Bought myself a bit of time.
I don't know, mate. I think losing 2 inches from rough ground can be absolutely devastating. It can be...
But, again, for your farming, I mean, for your fishermen and your nav, 4-inch aura can make a huge bit of difference to you.
Well, I think it will, because that's like an 8-inch... That bubble is huge, like, because it's 4 inches around all sides of him, so that's over 8 inches diameter circle, just like you've got to put around him. And if you're going for a goal run, that's a huge space to have to consider there's going to be rough ground.
Oh, yeah, but again, at the end of the day, you're going to be attacking a 3-1 model. You're likely going to get your dodging. You're likely going to make the movement back just from the lower defense, and then a human, you just don't even go, I've got an extra point of momentum, glide negated. It's super specific for something that you don't even get momentumly when you've got actually quite good results now. But again, really like, fucking love it though.
Brought that momentous knockdown from 4 down to 2.
Yeah, even know what they were thinking before, why they'd put that knockdown so far up when he already wasn't going to be doing that much anyway. Yeah. No one's going to go, all right, time for the big Plowman activation.
Yeah,
you know, free influence, all right, going in now. I hope I survive this. Shit, 4 hits, knockdown, it begins. No one's doing that. At least now, if you're in a pinch situation, you can take 3 influence on Plowman, turn it into momentum if you want to push and knock down. And more importantly, if you've got like Grange going, or you need just a bit of clutch damage, you can get Plowman in there and start beating people down a bit. No, it's not over the top. It's doable now. And you can even... The only thing I don't like, right? Fertile Coil, I kind of liked how more abusable it is on his previous card. Because you kind of... It gets you thinking a bit more. Yeah. It all of a sudden, you kind of make a team almost around Plowman, you know. You go, alright, you put Fertile Coil there. Alright, what am I doing? Getting all my markers in there. Topping up. Now it's only 1 per turn. Okay, Plowman puts 1 down. He puts 2 down. End of turn.
Yeah.
I quite liked how... I kind of would have been...
once per turn. That's a bit different, isn't it? Because it was quite fun having that furrow down and going, like, Harrow puts his down in there, Millstone puts hers down in there, and you're like just going bristling with it. And then that's when Vet Honor would just go, put them where I want them, and Thresher's like, right!
There's a bit of flexibility in there. There's a bit of like decision making, where we're going to put them. I've only got a very limited area, so you're kind of concentrating it around your farming. Do I put them back here and just kind of farm influence? Yeah, no pun intended. We're quick thinking here. I'm here all day. But do you keep it in your scrum where all your guys are going to take advantage of it? I quite like that. A universal buff on a model I think needed it.
It's great though that it's gone from being that tiny little 3-inch AoE to being a 4-inch aura around him. Like,
I guess that's where the new flexibility comes in. Where you've got someone out a bit more out there.
Like that veteran honour thing of being able to reposition harvest markers. It's almost like he's Plowman's being that sort of beginner farmer friendly thing of, oh no, you've pushed Thresher a bit too far. Oh no, Tater hasn't actually got the harvest marker next to him for the counter charge. Someone like almost on the other side of the pitch can be like, I'll put my harvest marker here. And Plowman's like, there's one 4 inches away over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. Yeah, I don't, this is a quick one. I'm like going, very good job. Peek out.
Question though.
Yeah.
Broken Earth, 4-inch aura, enemy models treat this aura as rough terrain. Super important question here. Fathom, Wave Runner, gets a 4-inch dodge with a heroic by being 1-inch of terrain. That wording, rough terrain, would suggest to me that rough ground and fast ground are going to become a terrain pieces.
Maybe.
I mean, because before, I don't know, maybe this is just me being completely an idiot and it was all like, it was this all along, but I've never treated rough ground or fast ground as terrain for that sort of...
I think for the actual AoE, you can't put them... No, for the AoE, you can put them wherever you want. For Black Earth, you can blast wherever you want.
Mm.
That chunk, you can consider rough ground. But shit like forest, you can't put too near to other terrain. But I think that's just rough terrain. Maybe they might change the name terrain to not mean just, you know, pieces on the board.
Yeah.
Like, if you're already calling a barrier, an obstacle, you don't need the additional qualifier of terrain. And terrain usually do prefer, generally, to, like, a field. Every other miniature game I played, terrain means just kind of general ground.
Yeah.
Like, in Lord of the Rings, rough terrain is just, yeah, some rough ground with a bit of rock on it. It's not an actual peak on the board. And because we've already got a name for the peak on the board, it might be a bit of overthinking, but I think that's just a general change of wording, just to make it a bit more clear. I don't think there'll be any special rule for it. I fucking hope not, anyway. Fathom's already, like, footed. I don't know what you're worried about, fucking... Give me that 8-inch fucking 5-dodge aura.
Speaking of, I bloody love the navigators, mate.
I fucking hate the navigators.
So, since we've had the navigator proxies, well, since the navigator cards dropped, I've been proxying them in most, if not all, of our games. And I think on Monday is when you finally broke. I think it's mentally taking a toll.
I'll let you do your thing, right? I'm thinking on it, but I'll keep it in my brain for a minute.
No, I'm ready, mate. I'm going to throw over to you because I love it. I've been enjoying every single game we've played.
How did I feel on the very first game we played with the navigator?
So the very first game we played, you said you didn't, your toys weren't entirely out of the pram.
Hmm.
You sort of were frustrated at the fact that, like, there'd be times where I'd be like, oh, I didn't get it. Oh, now I do get it.
Yeah.
But then the last few games we played, you've been, your toys have been out the pram and you've been, I'd say, sulking.
Right. Real talk. Do you get why I am the way I am with this team?
No, I think you need to get over it, really. No, yeah, I do. I can see where you're coming from, where the frustration comes from. I can see it because your issue being that, like, I need bad luck twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's again with the reverse blacksmith. It's the idea that you're on a stave, like, take a stave or velocity, right? Velocity, 6 defense, good as to come, defense wise, reanimate, all that good shit. Rerolling helps both ends of the spectrum, and like I say, it gives you additional good luck on both ends, and more importantly, it means I don't even have the final, like, again, I call this the final defense of Guild Ball. At the end of the day, at least I can rely on a bad roll.
Mm.
Maybe, just maybe. I've said it before, if you roll nothing but once, I win. But having to roll nothing but once twice, it's an entirely different tale. Okay, on the stave end, where you've got the 2-0 model, you turn what would already be a wrap on most teams into, I'm not even guaranteed to, I'm just seeing how good my wrap is. And normally, you go, I've hit everything, apart from one, boom. So I can't even go, oh, well, fuck, I don't even take the edge off.
Yeah.
It's like when you're rolling in the stave, which I only brought him because I had him in the box, and I didn't have any model for me. We played a Bruins game, which I thought the Bruins didn't do terribly, but the cat out navigate the navigator.
It was the navigator 6 played into Tapper, Scum, Hooper, O Spigot, Stave, and Lucky.
Yeah. I couldn't even do that thing I do with the fish where I'm going, like, okay, you brought Cocktail, so you've given up maneuverability for a bit of damage. I know what to expect. Or Shark, like, this guy I'm going to try and touch with this game.
Mm.
Navigating, bring all the movement with all the damage. Yeah, the anything spectrum coming together. It's like, okay, the benefits kind of come together on both ends. And the general idea, like, yeah, on the 2-0 end, it helps you top out the wraps you're already going to get. And the 6-0 end, it helps you negate good defence and get what you want anyway.
In that game 2-2, the first two came from killing Lucky, but the second two came from knocking Stave off the board, which happened with, at the bottom of one turn, at the top of another, I got 4 unexpected arrivals in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Stave was just such a victim.
Oh, yeah, he's a fucking horrible... He's a terrible model.
Yeah, you should have proxied him for someone else, to be honest.
No, I thought, fuck it, I'll give it a look. And he had chances where he could have done, like, good things. But what happened? I roll my dice, get bad luck. I re-roll for me, motherfucker. It's just like, yeah, I'll guess. And not to mention, the Navigators have quite good defence across the board. I can't even go, well, fuck, at least I've got low defence. Time for them to be on the end of their thing. Like, 5 defence. Fuck, 2 hits, I guess. I don't get what I want. Fuck, your turn now. And then you go, alright, counterattack, boom, everything. And even if I don't get it, I'll try again. We had that thing on the part in Blow, right? Alright, Gum can try and do something and actually try and negate your ability to win the game. Fuck, though. Yeah, but I like going part in Blow. Oh, shit, reroll. On a 5 defence model, I go, you know, on a regular day, I might even chance it. Maybe, just maybe I could just get ridiculously lucky. On a reroll, not even a chance. You're going to get it. On 2 hits, it's like going, yeah, you've got 16 tack.
Yeah.
Like, what am I, mathematically, like, what am I even thinking? The best I could even have hoped to do. Again, it turned the situation from, I can definitely deny your goal, to, you get a parting blow, and I've got to get super fucky, like, just ridiculously lucky. You turned your parting blow, went from 6 to 8 tack for the parting blow, to effectively 16 tack, where my parting blow on the same defence model went from, you know, 3 tack up to 5, then I bonus timed it to try and even push my luck, and like going, yeah, 5 tack, and rightfully so, like going, I don't get it.
No.
Okay, then you, and I went, if Favon gets the ball in this situation, you win.
Yeah.
Because you're rolling 6 dice in a tapping, you know, and you even biff the first shot. You're going, yeah, oh shit, I don't get it. 3, another 3 kick. It's like, yeah, fuck what?
Yeah.
And like, you know, on the goal, on the receiving kicking end, and again, I'll probably say this a lot, as a matter of mathematics, I can only get your dice so low. If you can bonus time, you get a minimum of 4 kick every single time.
Yeah.
Even if all the Navigators had 1 dice each on a kick, if they bonus time, they get a minimum of 4. Just a minimum. Like, yeah, and if you bonus, like, yeah, you bonus time for having kick to bring up to 3-6, whatever, 3-8.
Yeah.
I'm going, that super shot, like, one momentum turned that into super shot. It's just, okay, I could put on a model for my base. The best I can try and do is push TN by breaking line of sight. Even in Dreamland, where I've got all my models blocking off, but even if all the interceptors in the world, I get it to 6, at the end of the day, you're still rolling 4 dice looking for 1-6. It's not terrible. It can never be terrible. I can never put you in a situation where you go, fuck, I've only got the 1 dice, even on the reroll. Mm. You know, like, he can't bonus time, I'm still 2 dice at the end of the day. It can never push you into the territory of nothing at all. And it's what makes them so powerful, especially on the kicking department. And like, it's that thing of like, it's mathematics. There's no level of thinking that pushes your kick into a territory that's even, you know, not doable. And even with Shark, if I can get a few intervening models in the way, break line of sight on that turn 1, you know, goal, I can maybe fuck big day. And I've done the same thing even to Angel, like super shotting, going, okay, 3 intervening models, shear 3 tack, 3 kick off that, blocking line of sight, plus on TM, roll the 3 dice, didn't get it, fuck yeah, it paid off. Then to go, yeah, I could never rely on that with a Navigator.
Yeah. I'm after you've just said all that, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm really enjoying playing them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really enjoying how they work, but I can see that every time I'm getting them rerolls, it's chipping away at, like, your state of mind in the game. Over the course of a game, you're going from to just looking at me like, okay, you're getting it. Don't you fucking roll them dice again. Don't you do it.
All right. We played like 3 games for the Navigators. Yeah.
Mm.
When's the last time we played with a Navigator where you roll for the playbook and didn't get what you want? You have one where you go, you know what, I really need that hit. Let's say, unless you're looking for something ridiculous, like, you know, double wrap, full playbook, which would have been nice, but how many times have you gone, I kind of just want 2 hits, boom, I get them. Like,
yeah. I don't think I've had anything that I particularly... I don't think I've missed any particularly crucial dice rolls.
Yeah.
Apart from one goal. But that was because you took me down to 1 dice with a reroll. But it was 1 dice needing a 5. I took it because it would have won the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, didn't get it.
Well, 2 dice.
Yeah.
By default. And you get that situation where even, again, at one point in momentum would have been the difference that made the difference.
Yeah.
But, okay, even your initial problem, you'd kind of already solved. You went, oh, man, yeah, navigating, don't get momentum. And then a couple of games later, like, going, shit, what were I thinking? I can't hold all of them.
Yeah, there was one turn on a game we played on Monday where I ran out of momentum tokens. And I was just having to grab random tokens from my box because I had I got over 15 momentum. It was because I had the game plan deck where when one of your models is taken out, you can move all that influence to another one within 8 inches. So Fathom was knocked down, engaged by Tapper, Sorry, she wasn't knocked down. Fathom was engaged by Tapper, had, if she could get away, the goal run was on.
Yeah.
So intention was going to be acrobatic to within 2 inches, buy an attack to try and get a momentous dodge. She sprints, she shoots. And that's what she would have done. But obviously you weren't going to let me do that. So I gave her a full stack, but she was within 8 inches of Windfinder. So either that full stack was going to get me a goal, or it was going to turn 2 influence to 6 influence yeah. on my captain. Yeah. As it goes, that's exactly what you did, because you had to.
Yeah, that's another fundamental thing. I can't... There are none of the navigating models I can go, well, at least I'm tying them up. I can... Even Shark, I've had him in situations where I can go, I'm on him now, and you're going to have to pay him all it's worth to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that guy, it's hard to... There are literally none of the navigating models I feel I can freely tie up.
Well, Tidal Surge is amazing, but it costs 3 influence.
Yeah.
You know, like, 4 inches of dodge. Great, but it costs 3 influence.
I think you get the thing you want and you pay the price.
Mm.
With a navigator, I never feel like you go, oh man, I've really got to pay heavily for this. A lot of their great shit is usually free. Like, yeah, Fathom, 1 momentum, 5-inch dodge, can't argue. Is it 4-inch dodge? 4. Yeah.
You're thinking of Stellar Navigation, which is completely free.
Free for 5-inch.
For Horizon, yeah.
Wander can give Wed the go to basically anyone.
For an influence, that's not free.
Fucking hell. I've gone on record before saying I think Wed the go is the best character play in the game. Tell a lie. Wander character play is now the best in the game. Because he can give it to other people as well.
Got me out of activation there. Gives you a chance to put your foot in the door with that.
Even Wanda, just gets net goal. Wanda.
Yeah.
You know, he genuinely just, like, the entire time when playing with Navigator, I never felt like you've had a situation once where you've just gone, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Out of just something where I've just got to throw everything in the way and go, but if it's available, like, if you can draw the line, if it ever comes down to dice, there's never a point where you can go, I can't get it. There's never a point where I feel like the Navigators never put themselves out there in a way that, you know, I'm going to go for the big risk for the big reward. If you get dice on something, it's going to go your way more than likely. And even with the playbook shit being higher up, 9 times out of 10, even non-momentously, you pretty much get what you want. And I've never even known you to go, shit, I don't get what I want. I don't think I've... Again, the 3 games were played with a variety of teams. What did I play in Tifa? In fact, the only time I've won against the Navigators is when I was playing my own striking team in return with the Fisherman.
Mm, The thing is, I found the first two, because we played 4 games,
yeah.
The first 2 games I played, I was struggling with them. I wasn't getting the good results. I wasn't getting the momentum, but I think I've sort of figured that issue out, and it was entirely down to how I was playing them. And I think I'm playing them as right as a player in my tier can do. You know, I'm not going to be figuring out the top tier strats, you know, but I think I'm playing them quite well for my sort of mid-tier mediocrity. And as a result, it's really paid off. Like, I won that last game 2-2. You know, it didn't even have to go to 3-0.
Did it feel like you were stretching for the kill?
The stave kill, I think, was a product of the matchup we were playing.
Yeah.
I don't see how Horizon's going to get 4 unexpected arrivals off in a row on anyone else.
But I said to you, like, in that situation, could you even with any other team, could you even have expected that? It wasn't like Bonesaw got an unexpected arrival, right?
Mm.
Bonesaw could likely probably, if he started in melee range, could maybe look for a couple of unexpected arrivals on Stave. Stave's a fucking victim any day of the week. It's not a question of him. The thing that made Horizon good in that situation is that he could use the 5-inch dodge to get a free move, do an unexpected arrival, then follow up with a charge.
Yeah.
And okay, because of the reroll, you turned what would have been a kind of a maybe into a definitely.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, even on Bonesaw hitting 2-0 Dave, you could go, I'm probably going to get an expected arrival, but it's still a chance at the end of the day. The re-roll, it turns it from a chance into almost a certainty. Like, again, I've said it before, alright, roll ones, and then roll ones again.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes almost like a matter of fucking, like certitude. Mm. It felt almost pointless to roll the dice. I thought it'd be quicker if you just went, boom, I've got 4 attacks, I'll get 4 hits. Boom, unexpected arrival. And then when you followed up with a charge, because he didn't, again, modularity of movement, really powerful, you got a thing that a lot of the models couldn't have got away with.
Yeah.
Even Bonesaw, he'd have to have started in melee range and then give up the charge and hope for maybe a couple of double wrap or something.
That's it. I rolled it and I... the second one, which was to take you out, and you looked at it again to say, and because I picked them up to get the reroll, and you went, oh well, because you had your hand on stave ready to just be like, yeah, you got your 4-inch push, I'm obviously out, he's obviously been pushed off. And you were like, did you not get it? And I went, oh no, I got it, I'm looking to see if I get the double dodge so I can get close. You know, and you were just like, the look on your face was a bit unimpressed.
Because on any other team in this game, that play would have been at least maybe had a chance of not going your way. It just, yeah, on the statistics end, they usually get what they want. Outside of other objective rules to come in. Like, I was saying before, I could just put Blacksmith on the table and fuck your playbook. I'm going, that's not me playing.
Yeah.
That's me going, all right, I'll just use 2 armor. Great, I win. Yay. But that's not me going, aha, I had a really good think on this and I thought good player, and I thought of a formation that's really going to fuck with your movement and your ability to get goals. It's me just going, fuck, alright, fine, you have your rules, I'll have mine, 2 armour. And then
I think
what the fuck even is the game?
Utilising cover and crowd outs is going to be huge into playing into the Navigators, I think.
Barely. Yeah, like, I don't know if that thing where you're going to go like, dude, like, I remember getting you in one situation where you're like going, all right, fine, I've got a bit of a crowd out thing going here. Guns on in, everyone getting ready to pile in. Now it's my turn to turn. Fuck it, legendary. Everyone out, 4-inch. Okay. All right, well, what if Windfinder had gone first? Wanda, get in there, 4-inch out. Well, all right. What if everyone else hadn't gone in? All right, Horizon Goken, unexpected arrival. Okay. Maybe Fava moves there. 4-inch dodge, acrobatic, then potentially 4-inch dodge. It's like, there's not a model on that team I can effectively maybe I can move if I'm really pinning him in. But they've got, everyone's got dodges. More importantly, they've got dodges on other people's turns. So I can't go, Ed's already gone. Well, he's there now. He's not there now. He's about to be removed. I can't, even if I move one model for one crowd out, you just got to let me have it. And for what? 2 damage. Like, on one of our tapper turns, I forgot about Ed's rule, and luckily he let me take it back, but it was like, oh, I can kill him. Three with one on the wrap. You mean 2 damage. Like, oh, fuck. Okay, my last turn, I didn't do a momentum push. I did a fucking momentum
Well, that's because you went in and you were like, momentous knockdown, and then like you had a full stack.
It was a matter of, yeah.
Yeah, it was a full stack. You went knockdown, commanding aura, and then you were like, push, 4 damage.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, obviously you meant instead of the two. Yeah. So we just took it back because can you imagine the sort of person who wouldn't?
Yeah. But I think at that point it's almost a case of like, it felt like you were just waiting to win.
Yeah.
And the manoeuvres that we're doing to try and get in the way, we're about as desperate as to come. It's just like, I can't get in the way of this fucking goal.
Do you think that this is just because it's something I've just started playing? Do you think that you're going to be able to outthink this?
If you're hearing some sharp edits from this episode...
Ryan has just saved me from a spider that was bigger than the model mother. It's bigger than Colossus, mate.
It shook up on me a couple of times, but every time I'm looking at the wall where it's come from, and it was like crawling behind a cupboard. I went, wow, that house spider is fucking huge, and it's like fingers coming down there. And I go like, well, you know, you probably can stay behind there because they don't like light or whatever. Cool. And he's just literally crawling on the desk next to you. I go like, all right, dude, cat. I don't know, someone who's got a huge arachnophobia. He's just like going like, you got to be careful how you react. Because you got like going, oh, dude, do you want to move over here? Oh, you go, oh, look, do you want to look at this?
Quick, look at the floor. What?
You just going like, yeah, that'll navigate. If you're reaching behind me for a slipper. Just going like, yeah, no, cool, attack. You turn around and go, no, actually, I don't think the navigating's that bad. Well, fucking hell, Ryan, what's wrong? It's a guy with a gun behind me. They felt... Like, for me, that's the proof in the pudding, so to speak. It's like, turn around going like, if they get a bunch of crowd out, which you know, outside of doing the 3-point, the triangle, is nowhere near guaranteed. You know, like I do, you can, with 4, did they even have dodges that are less than 4-inch outside of acrobatic?
I mean, on playbook, they've got double dodges and stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a matter of getting a model out of there.
Mm.
Like, there you go. Like, no model can, even base to base, no two models can put them in a position where you can't avoid the crowd out if you don't want. Outside of maybe last turn, but okay, if you're letting your model get in that. And again, even in the perfect world, 3 models, triangle, a model, one model's tied up half the team.
Yeah.
If I'm already at the point where I'm going like, hey, listen, guys, you just get 3 models in like a triangle around one model, the trap then, eh? And it's like, well, then the damage has already been done.
Yeah.
I'm already losing.
The thing about the last game we played, which was the Brewers one, was that I finally realised that, yeah, you can actually get a takeout. I was convinced that this was a three goals team and they were never going to get takeouts. But in a clutch situation, you can get the two takeouts. It took a lot of setup, mind. I will admit that it took a lot of setup. So Ebb threw down and sprung a leak, which hit Lucky to lose his armor. Well, it hit Lucky and Spigot, two damage and losing the armor. Azimuth just went nuts and with three influence got three netted and knocked down everyone in an area.
But, like, if Azimuth had foregone the knockdown and just gone, fuck it, I'll damage.
Yeah.
The kill would just merely have come even quicker.
Yeah.
The setup with... Even with Ebb, I went, oh, well, if you try and spring a leak, he's still got a roll for it, baby. He gets it on two on a playbook.
Yeah.
And it's not even like he's got a momentum higher up where you're like going, well, he really wants the momentum. He's like going, fuck it, four tack, I get eight tack effectively. Do I get two hits? Yeah, I do. Spring a leak negates my ability to even rely on your already spectacular roll for defence.
Yeah.
But yeah, two damage, armor gone, Anchor Move come in. And even then, like, you went without damage on Anchor Move. And Windfang just came up, a million tack.
Yeah. Well, that was the turn where you killed Fathom to stop the goal, so you gave the stack to Windfinder. So my objective that turn was either Fathom goal or Windfinder gets. I'm going to see if a takeout's possible because I'd never got one before.
Oh, yeah.
With the navigators. And going into a knockdown Lucky with one crowd out, I think he had.
Fathom, in cover?
Yeah, he was in cover, but there was a crowd out. Yeah, so.
A 4-1 and a 4-1 model. Not bad defence.
Yeah, that 4-0, that 4-1 went down to 3-0 for the sprung a leak in the knockdown. And Windfinder just went in. She just jogged up, bought the attack. First thing she did was throw down Ice Spy.
Yeah.
And then she just went down with five influence left.
I feel like all the additional setup feels like there was more layers than even necessary. Like, Ankhamuth don't even go. All Ankhamuth did was knock Lucky down.
Yeah.
Windfinder walks up, roll, I spy, boom, plus two attack, and you're automatically knocked down. So it's not like he even needed... In that situation, Ankhamuth barely made a difference. In reality, Ebb could have gone in, Windfinder right after, boom, you're out.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, and you did that home thing, we charged in. I think you came like going, all right, I'm weighing up, do I spy first to knock you down and do, you know, I spy, or charge in? I went, you get out on the player book on like two, and you're rolling eight tack twice, you're going to get two hits.
Looking for threes, yeah.
What do you want from me? I've only got, dude, I'm not being funny about it, but 16 tack on three hits, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't negotiate, it's fucking great, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Ebb haven't even crowded out himself. I don't think the takeouts aren't even like middlely doable. I think they're super fucking doable. It's just
you need the right
pay it's an influence thing. Okay, Windfinder moves in, gets the free, he's just looking for free hits.
Mm.
Okay, once you get Kai Spy knocked down, end of, you're good from there, you're golden. 9 times out of 10, the thing that fucks with 1-inch melee guys is the ability to get counterattacked and push back out. She's already got quite good defense. If for some fucking crazy reason you don't get Ice Spy on her attack, you know, let's say the 10 tack doesn't go your way. Again, which you've effectively got in terms of getting Ice Spy. Even if I get the counter attack, she's got 5 defense.
Yeah.
So, am I really going to get a double push? Probably not. She's going to get the kill. It's just, and then 5 swing. Honestly, I think even the charge, I'm probably thinking it. Okay, it took 16 tack. But really, a regular attack is 10 tack in terms of how many dice you can effectively get.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm coming from at the minute. The only thing I can immediately think of to counter them is just go, play Blacksmith or Mason. I throw some armor in there to really fuck them up. I go like, shit, is this the best I've got thinking on it?
It's because who have you tried into it? You've tried Hunters, Corsair Fish.
I tried Falconer.
That's right. Yeah. It was Falconers, Corsair Fish, Butchers, and Brewers.
So I'd argue a good collection of teams who can do very different things. Like Brewers and Butchers are as good as they get, killers wise.
Mm.
It's not a coincidence. Out of the four games we played, the only one where I got a victory on the board was the other striking team. And even then, when you still had only played them a couple of times before.
Yeah.
I'd argue my luck would probably run out these days. Do you think you're going to play a Navigator full time then?
Yeah, okay. I do. I think that's a fair response.
Well, you even said it before, right? And I said it on the other podcast. It's ridiculously demoralising to go again.
Yeah.
And more important, and one guy came up to us at the club when we were playing this last game, and he went, "Oh man, that reroll fucking ridiculous, right?" And I was looking at him going, "Yeah, yeah." And he went, "You know, it'd be great." And I'd already said this before.
Yeah.
He went, "Man, it's a shame you get to keep your net hit. It'd be fine if you have to re-roll the whole thing." I went, "It's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Pay the fucking price. The fact you can keep hit is what makes it ridiculous. If it was like going, all right, I roll five, I got three hits. Should I push my luck? I could at least respect it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I could respect the chance." You know, going like, no, I've got my free hit. I've got what I want in ice fight. I'm going to take it. The fact you... Then I'd go, you know what, he could have botched it. Like, you know, even if he got, I'd get nothing, I'm obviously going to re-roll the whole thing. Like, at least then it turns it from, like, a kind of maybe. It's the buffer that really hurt. It's the, how many times did you roll Windfinder and go, oh, I get three hits, I re-roll the rest, I've turned it into a wrap.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You went from barely getting what you want to, I'm fighting off the momentum.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to re-roll the whole thing.
That was the activation where she was, that's the activation where I ran out of momentum because she turned six influence into like 12 momentum, I think. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
And then, take out momentum on top and all that lot.
Yeah.
It's, that's the thing, it's that buffer of going, yeah, I got my hits, I can keep them out and then I re-roll the rest and see how I get out of them. If it was just a full-on re-roll, completely different story. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be a huge nerf to them, but like I said, I really think people are underestimating the general strength of the minor guilds. I've not seen any minor guilds yet online going, I think I could trash, they need all the help I can get.
One thing you've been saying, and I think you're right actually, is that playing against the navigators in particular, it's like you almost play for 4-0 down, because it's like roll for kick receive, okay, you win because you get an extra plus one to the roll.
Yeah.
I'll receive please, okay, well you're going to pass it down the line, that's and Fallon's going to score. Yeah.
And like I can't even do the mascot, you know, I can't even do the fuck you goalkeeper set up because you'll get a minimum of 4 dice.
Yeah.
Like, I can't push you into, alright, fuck yeah, he's only getting walling intervening model, he can only get 2 tack, maybe hitting on a 5. Yay, 4 dice compared to 2 is a completely different fucking world. Even hitting on a 5. Yeah. Even if I was playing the butcher and I had 10 driver out there, full off maybe, 4 dice looking for 1 thing, it's the end of the world, statistics wise. Fucking agile. And like, it's hard to go up against when, especially with a team like the Brewers or the Butchers, who are kind of already struggling to get what they want and need. And I didn't even do terribly with the Butchers. It's not like I got quite close to winning, but it never felt like I go, whew, the Butchers are really doing butchery shit right now. Oh, I bet Alex is sweating it out. It was like going, fuck, he's on 8. It's only a matter of fucking time now. It's like, just got to try and maybe get in the way of it somehow. And it's like going, yeah, 5-inch dodge around.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, well, fuck, all right. How much does that affect your movement? Well, actually, even my shit of sprinting is still better than your best sprinter. It's like going, oh no, I've got 7 sprint instead of 8 with my 5-inch dodge. It's like, yeah, the kind of movement a lot of their models get for free. The amount of trouble I have to go through to even make that doable with some of my best movements. J-Car, maybe? But he's getting off playbook, which you can do also.
Yeah.
Ultra, maybe?
He's got where they go.
11-inch with a sprint, which you get on a jog. An A2 VP kill, that's the thing. You know me, if there was some secret tech I thought just destroyed Navigator, I'd be smugly here going, you've won a few, Alex, but like, see how we do next week. Yeah. I'm like going, I don't know. I'm saying that's the thing that's picking me off. It's not the re-roll. It's not the thing. It's sitting down at the end of the day going, I can't think of what you do against me. Because it's not a question of think. It's a question of rule.
It's like... talking to different people about it, someone said, well, they need the goal, just kill the ball, like put it on a model who, like, put it on a high defense model, and it's like, yeah, well, reroll kills that, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's not a feature, even though, okay, the traditional means of defense for a lot of killing teams, like killing the ball, right? Horizon, for the most part, just negates that. Mm. You either let him run right on his own, in that way, he's going to approach the ball anyway, or you kill him and he's back on at the field at that end. Leaving an open dead ball just does not work with Horizon around. Even if it did, and you put it on a high defense model, like a mascot, I put it on Fahad, nimble, yay, out in the middle of nowhere, you're likely going to get the one or maybe the 2 hits you need
for the tackle. Yeah.
And when you've got the viable dodging, I can't even go, at least you've got to use
it. I tell you what, I was thinking, putting it on the 5 or 6 model, I was going, oh yeah, and having to hit 4 fives or 4 sixes for the tackle double dodge, that's going to be difficult. Oh no, yeah, there is just a normal tackle on 1 or 2. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The benefit of sometimes putting the model on a ball on the model is that you go, all right, it's only got to use his movement of getting to the model, then getting the ball back, and then I can play around with it. When you've got that modular movement, you're not even giving up the movement. And when you've already got 8-inch kick, it's like, yeah, 4-inch here, I attack, take the ball, I counter-attack, tackle, okay, I tackle the ball again, now I'm simply going to leave the situation. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know the character. I flat out don't. Other than just going, bring armor, bring plenty of it. Just fuck the playbook. But even then, the one thing that makes high armor teams hard to go up against, which is, I've got the one myth. Fuck, they even have a counter to that. Like, it'll drain the momentum a bit, but it won't fundamentally. You'll still kind of get your lower end, because you'll still get the reroll on the traditionally lower defense high armor model. There are no 4-3 models in this game. Like, if you've got two armor, you've got three defense all lower, and that reroll makes that even fucking juicier. So even though you're taking your net hits away, you're likely getting what you want. It'll be interesting to put a high armor team out there, but fundamentally, when if you're looking for a tackle on a hit or two hits, you're gonna get it. I don't want to. I hate to end this one overly negative. And for me, the thing with telling, where I kind of, that's the thing that also kind of get into me. I could turn around and go, I want you to admit it. I don't want you to. I think I've gone they're all right, aren't they? Do you feel badly about that? Can you turn around and went, if you want, I can stop playing the team, basically.
Yeah.
But I want you to admit.
This
isn't just me being bitchy. This isn't me going up against your fisherman going, oh, of course, shark to shark thing. It's me going, you don't, like, this isn't just me. This is like an actual thing. Like, this, you do understand that when I'm looking at you and going, I get effectively 16 tack on a charge, hitting a free fucking one model. Assuming that when I'm turning around to you and go, roll all ones and then roll all ones again, surely a part of you going, this is a little bit bullshit. When I'm turning around and when you're going around, going, yeah, for free, 5-inch dodge, free crowd out on a guy, 4-inch out of there. It's like, Windfinder comes in, 12 momentum damage and knockdown for free. It's like, yeah, what's my counter? Like, I came to like, dude, if you playing them, I think I said to you, all right, what would you do against Navigators? And tell the ladies and gentlemen what the answer is to the Navigators.
I can't remember what I said.
Killing the ball, no.
Yeah.
Crowding out, fuck no.
Yeah. Well, we're going to look very silly when someone figures it out.
When someone figures it out, great. But if they're figuring it out, play a high armor team, that's not an answer. That's just rules. Yeah. And for Frank, I'm concerned, that's not playing the game. That's just going, well, that's the hard. The rules collide, and they cancel each other out. That's not clever thinking or outthinking. It's just going like, well, you think you want your bullshit. Yeah, well, I don't. That's not whether. And not to mention, just because it's doable doesn't make it fun. I think the Blacksmiths are a great team. I don't play them. I don't like them. They're not a fun team for me. The information, they're considered a really good team. Very, can do a lot of things, can do damage, can do goals. But I don't want to play them. Like, they're not my team.
Yeah.
And you know me, even amongst the Hunters, my team is considered a strong team, but I like my team. It's a fun team to play for me. If the answer is, you want to use maneuverability, you want to hang back and let them kind of bring in, that for me, that strategy versus I've got a rule-based answer to it. It's a really fucking hard one for me to come in with. I like ending up positive. You know, obviously something like this, hearing a couple of guys bitch for an hour and a half, off our level long, it's a fun thing to listen to, but guys, I don't know what it is. We should have ended on Plowman.
Yeah, I mean...
Given the light at the end of the tunnel, Alex.
I'm really enjoying the Navigators. You
fucking backed it. Oh my god. I've not even looked at the forums yet, and I'll come in next week with that. I'm thinking I'm going to have a look and see how other people are doing. Because you know me, I like to go in raw and try and figure out my own shit. I think now that I've hit the brick wall, I'm going to actually try and put myself out there and look in the community and see what they've come up with. But I'm generally expecting a lot of people to go, fucking team. But yeah, the mere fact that all the time I played against the fishermen, right? You know, I hate playing against the fishermen, not my kind of team. You're never once been tempted to go, I think I'll put these guys away and crack out a different team. The fact we're only 4 games in with the Navigators, and you're like, I can play someone else if you like. Yeah. It feels like me on Street Fighter playing against my other friends when they had trouble beating me and my main character. So I used to go, fuck it, random play.
Yeah.
And go, I took it really seriously and all that shit. It wasn't their fault, but it's that thing about going, I won't play my main character and just destroy it. I'll I'll just draw you with a random character for your character and being bullshit.
Yeah.
It's that thing of, or like even when we were winning, when I was winning a lot of games to you, I go, fuck, I'll play a bunch of different teams. I didn't just go, all right, every game serious, hunting all day. But I never was tempted to turn around and go, I can stop bringing hunting if you like, Alex. You know,
it's the mental fatigue that watching me get these rerolls constantly is clearly having on you is why I offered to change teams.
It just feels bullshit, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I want them to, it never feels like you're ever going to turn around to me over the other end of the table and go, I didn't get what I wanted. And that's the thing, there's never going to be a butchering style situation where you're like going, oh no, you fuck, you get your thing now. Yeah, go ahead, do your counter attack, push me out. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it just...
You're not going to have that position where a full stack of ox have just been double pushed.
Yeah, when am I ever going to put you out in a situation with Windfinder? Mm. Really? Like, four games, not one time have you gone outside of like the most basic of like, I get one die hitting on five, re-roll the one, oh, I didn't get it. Like, outside of them very rare, almost purposely terrible situations, are you ever going to go, you know what, the dice didn't go my, you know, the odds didn't go in my favour? At a certain point, it just feels like almost rolling in pointless.
Mm. So... Every other release that we've seen so far for Season 4, for card change to Season 4, apart from Anvil and Sledge, we have absolutely loved.
Yeah, look how hard we're digging in. No. I think we're in a previous episode.
Granite, Salvo, Plowman, Snakeskin, basic core rule changes for Season 4. You know, everything, we've really liked everything. It's just a case that the Anvil and Sledge thing is sort of compounded on top of our already quite strong dislike for the Blacksmith, basically because we can't figure them out. And then that's just come in on top of the time of the rerolls of just getting to you. Trying to end on a good note here.
I've got a permanent contract at work.
There you go.
Fuck it, yeah, we're not going to find positivity in Guild Ball at the minute for me. Like, I started boxing class, pretty positive. Quite a good workout, I quite enjoyed that. You know what, I opened a full can of Pringles, and I only got halfway through, and I put the lid back on, and I put them away.
Good job, man.
Yeah. For me, that's flat out fucking blasphemy. The whole point to get a can of Pringles to go through the entire thing and shit in.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
One thing I will change, though, if I opened a tub of Ben and Jerry, I am never going to put a half one back in the fridge. Ben and Jerry, you can't refreeze. The texture, it fucks the texture up. If I open a Ben and Jerry, that thing, whole thing getting fucking eaten or thrown in the bin, which it won't be, I'll go for the whole thing regardless.
So on that note...
On that... thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us again.
Alex, now that the mic's off, I think I'm going to quit Guild Ball. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a good week. Ooh, that is a fucking hell, a house spider.
No, fuck, no, what, where?
Let me grab that.
What the fuck? Where is it?
Bound back up the bottom. Oh, Christ. To come haunt you with.
I'm done, I'm out. I'm gone.